You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the Diamond District Bonus Hour. Thanks so much for being with us on this hump day. Hope your week is going well. This is the day for us to gear up, catch our breath. Big day tomorrow, not just on the show, when we'll have Vern Lundquist and the voices of the Rays and the Marlins, Andy Fried and Kyle Seeloff, to join us. But tomorrow, opening day Major League Baseball, you know, if you're willing to overlook that whole Soul Series thing. And then the Sweet 16. The madness is back.
Hey, don't bash on the Soul Series. I mean, we got some runs. We got some offense in the Soul Series, baby.
Well, also, it's morning sports for Mark Miller.
Anybody else playing their opening day at 3 in the morning for me? 4 in the morning, 5? Is there a game that's starting before 11 a.m.?
We were both really big fans when ESPN, the first day of the college basketball season, they did the 24-hour marathon. We loved that. We loved the, well, Hawaii obviously has to get a game because they need a game overnight on the East Coast. So, like, Hawaii would be the, you know, I don't know, 4 a.m. game in the East because that's 11 p.m. there. And then it was a matter of, okay, who was going to do the 6 a.m.? Because you could get schools that would do the 8 a.m. and what have you. And didn't, when FGCU did breakfast at the beach, wasn't it the 6 a.m. game?
I thought it was 6.
Yeah, I thought they got the real early one. They got the time slot that nobody wants. You know, Hawaii gets punched in at 4 a.m. because that's 11 p.m. local and 4 a.m. on the east. But then nobody on the East Coast wanted to do the 6. They're willing to do the 8. Okay, but they really didn't want to do the 6.
That was a quick Hard Knocks. I mean, it ended because no one would do the game. You know, at least the NFL forces schools to do it.
Right.
And with no governing body in college basketball, they really can't force anybody to do anything.
But also, it was not cheap for ESPN to produce those games. I mean, think about it. The crew, like when they did the, I think it was 2014 or 2015? Was it right after the Sweet 16?
It was right after.
That they did breakfast on the beach?
Yeah.
And, so that was that Joe Dooley's first game then? Was it breakfast at the beach? I thought they opened at like Nebraska.
Maybe it was the second year.
Okay, but anyway, all I know is that it was completely sold out and the community loved it. And I was like, man, I'd do this every year. We actually, this is the truth. We actually talked about doing something like this 3, 4, 5 years earlier because FGCU couldn't attract flies and they weren't getting talked up locally. And you and I looked at one another and said, you know, they need to do something crazy. Something that'll get them on national television. You know, play a game when no one else would play it. And then, of course, you know, whole Sweet 16 thing, and everybody knew who they were. And you know, then ESPN was begging them to play. Please, please, play at 6 a.m. And, of course, the AD at the time was like, 6 a.m., hell, our crowd is up at 4:30, 5 o'clock. That's no problem.
They're just going to be leaving Perkins at 5:30.
Right. I mean, 7 would be perfect, but we could do it at 6.
For those of you that are visiting for half the year, enjoy the rest of your stay. For those of you that are year-round residents, I want to let you know what I saw yesterday. For the first time, I saw a car carrier. Hadn't seen one of those since October, November. That means with Easter this weekend, mm-hmm. tax day coming up, mm-hmm. the snowbirds are going to start heading north again. And the cackling snowbird, my nominee for the state bird of Florida, will be going with them.
Now, I've wondered here, especially since the pandemic, with so many people moving to Florida in the last handful of years, but also, I think people from other parts of the country who now visit the 239, I do think they're staying longer. Like, there's a few people I know, Mark, that have decided finally they're going to cross the threshold. I've asked them, I go, so where are we filing our taxes? And they're like, oh, no, we're going to do Florida. We're staying for more than 6 months. I'm like, okay. All right. So I'm wondering if maybe, just maybe, late April also you'll see a big run. That people just deciding, you know, I'm staying longer.
We'll see. But I saw a car carrier for the first time yesterday and pulled off to the side of the road, took a knee, said a few words to the guy upstairs and thanked him or her and went from there.
Come on now. I've never understood why you're so happy.
You mean I can walk into a restaurant and get a table? I can drive somewhere without traffic being horrendous? Look it, we are a tourist-driven economy, but it's nice when the tourists go home.
But you are the most business guy on the show. And you know that the tourism industry keeps a lot of businesses open.
It does.
In Southwest Florida. And so I just figured that you would have, over time, more of an appreciation for the snowbirds.
Well, two things can be true. I mean, you can appreciate their role in society, and you can also wave goodbye when the car carrier leaves.
Hold on a second. I really appreciate you. Get the hell out.
It's a half and half.
No. You,
David, it's like family on Thanksgiving. You want them to come over, but you're really excited when they leave.
But see, I wasn't appreciative of them before they arrived. Okay? Now, my wife was, but I wasn't.
Okay, so that analogy doesn't exactly land with Moulton.
It doesn't work with me. No, it might work with the two of you, but it doesn't work with me.
It actually doesn't work with me either because I love the family time. I could do family time.
Although,
I like it more. You know, I will say as I've gotten older, I like it more now because there are, you know, I have cousins that come down. And the other thing, this is a Michigan thing for me, no one plays the damn game of euchre. Yeah. And so unless you're from Michigan, Ohio, or Canada, you don't even know what that game is. And so now when the family comes over at Thanksgiving, I get all excited because I get to play a card game that was something that we did, you know, every weekend growing up.
Get the cards out. What's Trump?
Now, I will say my mother is the two of you because my mother can be very excited to see me. And after about 4 days, she goes, yeah, I got to go. Wait, what? And she's like, yeah, I did.
Your mom and my mom are kindred spirits. They've never met one another because my mother, you know, she's been by herself for a while now. My stepdad passed away, I think, 12 years ago. So my mom's been alone and people come visit my mom. And my mom loves having visitors for 4 days. Mm-hmm. Anything over that is way too long. Get the hell out of my house.
Exactly. All right. My mother now, when she visits us in Jacksonville and she stays for 6 or 7 days, and by the end of day four, she looks at me and she goes, I think I booked too many days.
She doesn't even stay with you. She stays in a hotel and
exactly,
that's too many days.
Right. She's not in the spare bedroom. Exactly. She's spending 4 to 6 hours a day with us. 4 days in a row. She's like, I think it's time for me to leave. Wait, is it something we said? No. It's kind of like, Mark, you know my reaction all those years when I went to Collier County? All right, and I got the shakes and then the sweats and what have you. All right, that's my mother after 4 days visiting. By the way, she's an only child. I'm an only child. All right, you know, she has one grandchild, one great-grandchild. Yeah, 4 days. Yeah, I got to go. Why? Where are you going?
That's a day for the kid, a day for the granddaughter, a day for the great-granddaughter. What else do you need?
Yeah, and then she's like, yeah, I'll go home. I'll do FaceTime. Okay. So I understand it. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. So you had a moment. Did you shed a tear?
I didn't bring tears to my eyes, but it brought a hell of a smile to my face.
It warmed your heart.
Unbelievable. 21,000 on the text line. All right. Do you pull over on the side of the road with a tear in your eye and take a knee when you see your first car carrier? Twitch chat room as well.
I got to, by the way, immediately said that I got a text from a buddy. I saw one too with 3 exclamation points.
The excitement.
And he has a business. He owns a business that primarily serves people who are here for 6 months a year.
I don't get it. I really don't. But, man, everybody's with you, though.
Yes. Right?
There's nothing in the Twitch chat room that's on my side on this one. And I want them to stay. I'm asking for like an extra 4 to 6 weeks. I just want them to, you know, get over the threshold where they have to file their taxes in Florida.
Yeah, and that's I'm like all. Mercury Morris popping champagne when they leave.
So the Snowbird's leaving and you're the 72 Dolphins?
Yes, every year.
Brian in the Twitch chat room's right with you. He says, I pop champagne when they leave.
I have leave. A friend who's in the golf business. Obviously, they rely primarily on Snowbirds. That is the golf business down here. People are here half the a big majority of it. He has a countdown on his phone that he sets up in October for when May 1st is. That's not a joke.
Oh boy. It's funny. Hey, we need your money. Now get the hell out.
How much does the dynamic change at the country club?
Oh, they're gone. It's great.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't you can play golf whenever you want.
I figured the golf had to be a big factor in this. You know, I mean, you probably can move through the course a lot.
A lot more quickly. You don't get shut out of tee times. No. It's a wonderful thing.
We have to protect this person's identity. All right. Longtime loyal listener. All right. But someone who's a longtime loyal listener is also a member of a local Chamber of Commerce. And he let us know in the Twitch chat room that don't tell anyone, but I'm kind of happy they're leaving also. Wow! I love it. We are something as a society, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Please come down, visit. No. Spend as much money as you want. We're so happy to see you. Get the hell out. Go. Yep. The time. It's time. What? I thought you said it's time to visit. And now it's time to leave. Out, go.
Be a lot less people parked in the no parking sign in front of Publix waiting for their spouse to get out.
It, by the way, was behind somebody at Publix the other day, 23 items in the 10 item or less lane.
Had an incident almost where I walked up to I was at Walmart and it's 20 or under there. And I had one item. And the lady in front of me let me go ahead of her. And I said, thank you. It is a 20. And she panicked, picked up all her stuff, and went to another lane.
Oh,
it was a
well
very
done.
Proud moment.
21 minutes past the hour. Diamond District bonus hour. Thanks for being with us. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap today was the day when. All coming up, along with some picks and thoughts on tonight's action. Vern Lundquist on the show tomorrow, probably in the 7 o'clock hour. Andy Freed, Kyle Seeloff, opening day of the Major League Baseball season for 28 of the 30 teams. Voices of the Rays and Marlins, respectively, on radio. They will join us on the show in the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow.
How much baseball are you going to watch?
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, tomorrow's a huge sports day for me. Yeah, I'll spend the whole afternoon on baseball, and then I'll do hoop. So baseball will get me for about 6 hours, 1 to 7.
And your team starts it all off.
I know. Mets and Brewers. Yeah. I'm all in. Death, taxes, and the Mets win on opening day. Absolutely. All in.
Majority of the games start at 4 o'clock or earlier, so you'll be able to watch a good amount of baseball before the madness even gets going.
Mm-hmm. And once again, Major League Baseball just making some ridiculous, absurd scheduling decisions. I mean, like, why is Milwaukee and New York in New York? Milwaukee's got a dome. It's March 28th tomorrow. What are you doing?
You mean the LA Angels taking on Baltimore in Baltimore doesn't make sense to you?
No. As a matter of fact, it doesn't.
What about the Braves playing Philadelphia in Philadelphia?
Well, I mean, both teams, you know, outdoor ballparks. But, yeah, I'd take my chances on Atlanta on March 28th as opposed to Philadelphia. The Twins are at the Royals. Now, both play in outdoor ballparks now, so you can't get around that. So what I would do is I would not schedule them the opening series of the year.
Much like the Tigers at the White Sox.
Like the Giants and the Padres are playing one another. Why? Split them up. Have them each host. It's almost a perfect split, right? We took a look at either warm weather or domes, and I think it's like 14 to 16. We can find 14 places that should be playing the first week of the season at home. You know, like at least the Rockies are in Arizona. Thank goodness. Because they actually have scheduled the Rockies at home in March before. You know, the Red Sox are in Seattle. Makes sense.
It's close, but I still don't know if they could completely pull it off because they've got most of the warm weather teams playing at home. There are a few you could switch around, but you're still stuck with a couple. But like Toronto plays Tampa. Both Toronto and Tampa should be hosting games. Toronto plays in a dome.
Exactly. So why are the Rays playing the Jays? The Jays should be hosting. You know, Detroit's playing on the south side against the White Sox. No, no. One of those teams should be playing Toronto in Toronto. The Giants and the Padres are playing each other. No, split them up. That's all. I mean, if you're going to make keep moving the season earlier and earlier, don't you have to adjust the schedule? Because also, you don't want it to be, you know, what was the game? Was it Cleveland a year or two ago? I mean, it's literally, it's snowing during the game. Come on. What are we doing? And when it happens in game four of the World Series against the Marlins, you know, that's cute. It's late October. Okay, but it's the World Series. You'll deal with it. Not the first game of the year, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, David, one of the games you're referencing is it was in Detroit. It was Cleveland-Detroit, and Miggy went yard and couldn't tell that it went that it left the ballpark because it was snowing. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Right. What are we doing?
Well, and it's one thing. Look, opening day is opening day. It draws incredibly well. But as we've pointed out over the years on this show, games two and three don't draw like game one.
No.
Particularly when it's 35 degrees. So it's been a complaint of Miller and Moulton now for as long as we've been doing a show together. It will continue to be a complaint of Miller and Moulton because they're not going to do a damn thing about it.
Now, I mean, at least they have the Marlins and Rays both at home. Okay, that makes sense. But why is Atlanta in Philadelphia? I mean, just flip it. But anyway, Marlins, by the way, 4 o'clock tomorrow, hosting the Pirates. Are they offering, you know, so let's see. We can bring instruments to the Marlins games now, and they have an all-you-can-eat section.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, they're getting to the point in which I don't even care if the team's any good.
Well, that's a good thing because they're opening with the Pirates, so it's not like you're going to see good baseball on one end of the field.
I'll tell you what. I actually think Pittsburgh's going to be a little better than you think this year. That's a bad division, man. That is not a good division. You cannot confidently tell me there is a team that qualifies as good in that division. Good.
All right. Are you willing to go over on the Pirates number? It's 75 and a half.
It's a little higher than I wanted, I got to be honest. I was kind of hoping for like 73 and a half. It's a little higher than I want.
Yeah, I wouldn't have the guts to do that.
It's a bad division, man. It is. Somebody's got to improve. Now, we're over on the Reds.
Right.
Okay, we jumped that train already. So it's dangerous to bet the over on another team in that division. It's actually going to be, though, I mean, They all should be within like 8-10 games of each other, though.
I'm still stunned that the Red Sox over under 77.5.
You think that's too high?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. Doesn't everything have to go right for them to get to around 500?
Yes. Did you see the feature story that is making its way on the internet that one of the local Boston stations did? They did a proverbial man on the street story, and they sent a female reporter to Fenway and just walked the streets in and around the ballpark for a couple hours and asked people, hey, you care about the Red Sox? And the whole story was, no. Can you name anybody on the Red Sox? And they're like, no.
Boston gets so much credit as a sports city, and if their teams aren't good, they're angry. No.
This is targeted. Okay. No. This is targeted. This is what Bucks fans did to the Glazers. This has happened in a few other places where they think the owner, who's gotten the portfolio diversified, is spending the money elsewhere and not on their team.
So they're trying to draw attention to the fact that fans are displeased.
Well, like the Bucks.
Well, but just the Montgomery deal that Boston didn't sign a pitcher. They need a pitcher
desperately.
They've got the money. They're one of the franchises that Boris will deal with. That's why they're upset.
I mean, they own their own network, for goodness sakes. The Red Sox make money, a ton of it. They couldn't give Jordan Montgomery 4 for $100? Of course they could have.
But they've gotten cheap, and their fans know it. And in the meantime, the Celtics are the favorite to win the East. The Bruins are one of the favorites to win the Eastern Conference and the NHL.
And only an hour and a half ago did the Patriots fall apart after a nearly 30-year run. Because remember, the 96 Patriots went to the Super Bowl. The 94 team made the playoffs, and they made the playoffs the 2 years after Parcells, too. I mean, up until an hour ago, the Patriots only had like 3 losing seasons in 30 years.
But the Red Sox are New England's team, and they're being cheap. And the fan base is honked off.
Especially since they're spending money on their soccer team overseas, which honks them off even more. 22 minutes till the top of the hour, 16 until we're out of here. Miss any part of today's show? That's what MillerandMolton.com is for. Download what you missed, like Seth Everett, Pat Kerwin, and the voice of FAU, Ken LaVica, all joined us earlier. Our poll question, so thumbs up, thumbs down on this new NFL kickoff rule. What do you say?
About 62% saying yes, they're in favor of the new kickoff, although it's not been, but we've not really promoted this as well as we should have. We really have laid off it today because the guest list was strong and we've been on other topics. But your thoughts on the new kickoff rule, are you in favor of it, yes or no? Go to that Mark Miller, the David Moulton, or Miller_Moulton on X.
And both Miller and Moulton have changed our votes. If we had thrown this poll question out heading into the owners' meetings, we would have said no. Coming out of it, we're at least willing to give it a try. Like, yeah, sure. If it brings returns back, yeah, it's a little gimmicky, but what the heck?
Yeah, do you want to play or do you want to non-play?
You know what I'm actually impressed about? The NFL has taken a look at other leagues. And in the past, they always arrogantly was like, well, they're doing it, so we're not. And it was like, yeah, but it's a good idea. Sorry, we don't do what others do.
Yeah, now they're playing a Wednesday game on Christmas.
Two of them, in fact, this coming season. But they did two things here. I mean, they just copied something from the XFL. I mean, not every single detail, but the majority, they took the XFL kickoff. And they had no problem that coming out of their mouths, too. Saying, yeah, we took most of this from the XFL. Oh, okay. And they've admitted, you know, we kind of looked around at the other leagues and their trade deadlines are much later than ours, and it seems to go better for everybody. So, well, we're going to keep moving our trade deadline back because they went from week 6 to week 8 a couple years ago, and now this year they moved it from 8 to 9, and most people think next year at this time they'll move it from after week 10. Now we're talking, Mark.
Now we're getting there. And I don't want it anywhere past week 10. I know you'd probably have it at week 12. You might have it at week 16 as much as you like trades. I think week 10 is about perfect.
The Tuesday before Thanksgiving, whatever week that is, that's where
I can't trade a guy before Thanksgiving. Oh, might have already bought the turkey, for crying out loud. Family's coming in town.
Well, they're not moving overnight. I mean, the family can still come. Yeah, it'd be awkward. Okay, fine. Then I'll make it the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. Fine. If that bothers you that much, then we'll do the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. You know what? You make a dadgum good point there. You can't have guys traded before Thanksgiving. All right. Fair enough. Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Now you extended it another damn week.
It's right. Time for someone to take back this segment. If for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
I've got a Moulton-like page today. There are a lot of arrows on this. I didn't have enough info, so I had to go searching for more. So there are a lot of arrows on today's page. We start in 1513, though. Ponce de Leon first sights Florida. 1794, the U.S. government establishes a permanent navy. 1952, Singing in the Rain premieres, David. I just want to get that song in your head for the rest of the day as you're driving around running errands.
It's done. Thank you.
Let's see. This is where my first arrow I screwed up. We had three championships before 52. The first ever NCAA championship was today in 39. Oregon beats Ohio State. Oklahoma State beats New York University today in 45. And Kansas beats Kentucky in the first 16-team field in 1951. 1971, UCLA wins their fifth consecutive title, beating Villanova. 1978, Kentucky beats Duke for Kentucky's fifth title.
Jack Givens was the star.
And today in 1981, Ozzy Osbourne released his debut solo album, Blizzard of Oz.
Oh, what a day.
I knew that'd fire up Trent.
What an album. What a cover art.
I agree with all of those things.
The opening track is I Don't Know. What better way to open an album? Awesome.
Do we have to introduce Semesco to Trent?
Yes. Although Trent's more hair metal than Semesco's hardcore.
I understand.
Yeah, but I don't get any harder than Metallica. That's kind of where I cut it off. I like the gimmicks. I like the hair. I like the leather. That's fun.
I say we make him a graduate assistant under Semesco. Okay. And they just do concerts during the spring and summer.
I think you're on to something. Cale Yarbrough would have had a birthday today. Quentin Tarantino and Randall Cunningham are both 61. Mariah Carey's 55. Fergie's 49. And Buster Posey's 37. What did I miss, David?
Well, a few things. I try to get them in chronological order. In 1929, Hoover installed the telephone in the Oval Office. Nixon regrets that he did. 17 years before that, William Taft's wife, the first lady, Helen Taft.
You look like a Helen.
She planted the cherry trees along the Potomac.
Huh, look at that.
It was her idea. Okay. Apparently the Japanese ambassador was coming to town. We're talking about things. And said, you know what this river could use? It has a little scenery around it. And so there you go. What else do we have? Today in 73, Marlon Brando declined winning the best actor. come on. On the arrogance scale of 1 to 10, that's a 34, isn't it? I mean, The Godfather.
Right.
He won it for The Godfather.
Right. And he refused to accept the award, based on the treatment of Native American actors? Or how Native Americans were depicted?
Hollywood's portrayal of Native Americans in film. And by the way, there was a lot of that in The Godfather. I mean, what the heck? First off, just get your Oscar and then give a speech and talk about it.
David, the better part is he sent someone to go pick it up who is allegedly Native American. She was lying about the whole thing. It's a huge hoax. Go look it up. Very interesting.
So, anyway, what else? Yeah. Big day today for guys.
Guys
had a big day today. 26 years ago today, the FDA gave thumbs up to Viagra. Now, hopefully it worked out okay for some ladies, too. But it was a really big day for guys.
Really big.
How big depends on how many pills. But, you know, that's all I got.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
We go to North Carolina for the good, where Franklin Bracey of Lincolnton, North Carolina, stopped by Jerry's One Stop in Iron Station to get himself a hot dog. How do you think the hot dogs are at Jerry's One Stop? Because I think they're awful.
Listen, but then again, you go to the gas station for your tacos.
Right.
So don't judge.
But he said, while I'm having a dog, I might as well get a scratcher. And he went out to a scar, scratched it off. His first thought was, no way. But it revealed he had won a $1 million prize.
Wow.
Said he's never won anything over $100 before, and he won a cool schmill because he stopped for a dog.
Those dogs tasted a lot better after that scratcher.
Who says hot dogs are bad for you? For the bad, we go to Lehigh Acres, where a resident reported a 15 to 20-foot python was entangled in the engine component of their car. So they called the police. Lee County Sheriff's sent over Sergeant James Van Pelt. He's a licensed python contractor. He arrived at the home to find a 1 to 3 foot red rat snake soaking up heat on the engine bay. He carefully removed the snake and released it into a nearby wooded area. Now, maybe, and by the picture, maybe 4 foot, 3 to 4 foot snake. David, could you confuse a 3 to 4 foot snake with a 15 to 20 foot python?
No, but somehow, you know, Otani and his interpreter, you know, miscommunicated a few things too. So I guess anything's possible, Mark. Maybe it depends on the camera angle and, you know, what have you.
For the ugly, we go to Cape Coral, where an unwanted guest ripped down fences and power poles in Northeast Cape, driving a 26-foot U-Haul truck, tore through backyards on Northeast 11th Avenue. LCEC had to replace multiple power poles. 8 homes were without electricity for 4 hours as this guy took down a fence and power poles and just kept on keeping on. So far, he has not been apprehended. And that is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, March the 27th, 2024.
So we got a bunch of games in the NBA. You know, Wednesday's a big night in the association. The Magic are getting Golden State on the second of back-to-backs because the Warriors won in Miami last night. And Orlando's a 4.5-point favorite at home against Golden State. Golden State only a game ahead of the Rockets, who are in OKC, oh, by the way, with a 9-game winning streak. OKC playing their second game in back-to-back nights. Here's what I'm wondering. If we're going to make a play tonight, now we can make a play on either one of those two games. Okay, Rockets getting 7.5, by the way, on the road, and they come in with a 9-game winning streak in Oklahoma City playing their second of back-to-backs. But Orlando at home laying 4.5, Golden State playing the second of back-to-backs. But here's one for you. How much you think the Lakers got in the tank tonight? Because they went double overtime in Milwaukee, no LeBron, and not sure LeBron's playing tonight with his ankle injury. But Anthony Davis played 53 minutes last night, and the Lakers are in Memphis tonight.
And Memphis is getting 4.
Memphis is terrible, and they've lost 6 of 7.
Right.
but just wondering, how much do you think the Lakers have in the tank tonight?
I'd be shocked if AD plays. I mean, they might slide LeBron back in there, but having AD play 50 minutes, like you said, and then have to play a back-to-back against the team, you can probably beat without him if you can beat without him.
Love to find out if LeBron's playing tonight.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't you want the 4.5 without AD and LeBron? But anyway.
I might just play the money line.
Okay. Only two games in the NHL. Remember, it's a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday league, and today's a Wednesday. But nice hockey game tonight. Speaking of back-to-backs, Bruins were at Sunrise last night to play the Panthers. You know where they are tonight? Tampa.
That's the game I like. If I were to make a bet tonight, I would take the Tampa Bay Lightning.
You mean the Lightning are 6-0-1 in their last seven? Most of that on the road. They've been home, rested for a couple days, and now they get the Bruins. This would be the first-round playoff series right now, by the way. This is Boston right now is a point behind the Rangers. So the Rangers are technically the one. And Tampa's the first wild card, and they would play the other division champion, and that's Boston. So this is the first round playoff series as of today. It's a pick 'em too, basically. And Boston's like -110. This is basically pick who you think's going to win. 7:30 TNT. So there you go.
Fired up to watch a little Bruins Lightning tonight. Watched a bunch of hockey last night. I'll watch a little hockey tonight as well.
And you could tell, guys know. There's 10 or so games left. Guys are like, okay, it's basically the playoffs have begun.
Look at the scores last night. Uh-huh. A lot more low-scoring games, a lot more defensive-style hockey, particularly in the games that involve teams both fighting for playoff spots.
So we may not hit like we're going to hit in 3 weeks, but we're going to play pretty hard from this point forward. NBA hasn't gotten the memo yet.
They're still a week or so away from that.
Yeah, they got a lot of games in which you're like, eh, not really.
But I like Orlando tonight. I like Tampa tonight.
Hey, by the way, there are some significant gambling news that's coming out right now. The NCAA is seeking to remove all prop bets from college games. I don't know. That just came out 15 minutes ago. The president of the NCAA came out and said, we're seeking to remove prop bets from college games.
Well, probably in light of the Raptor.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and he's like, you know, don't want individual players throwing games. Okay.
To protect the integrity, he said. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Well, if one does it, will the other? Miller and Moulton. Vern Lundquist, an opening day in baseball tomorrow. Join us then. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.